Well, good morning and welcome to Mornings for the Master. My name is Chip Horton and I'm glad to be with you on this good Wednesday morning. You have found the Gospel Radio Network and we're certainly glad to have you with us this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, we'll be in Proverbs 4 and 5 this morning. If I got my math right, I believe we're in the 20th book of the Old Testament, which leaves us, Melanie, help me out with the math here, I think 19 books. So we're right at the halfway point mathematically through the Old Testament. Here it is coming into September. Before you know it, school's going to be starting next week. And so we've got a lot of work ahead of us to finish up the Old Testament in the year that is left in front of us. So glad that you're with us today. We continue to remind you of those things that are going on around us tonight. You have the opportunity, if you're available, to go out to the Oak Grove congregation and listen to Chris Hooten from Texarkana as he's there at the Oak Grove meeting tonight talking about going home without Jesus. And the text that he may very well bounce out of is John 14 and verse 6, which says that there's no way to go home but through Jesus. So that'll be an interesting topic that Chris will cover. And then tomorrow night, if you have the opportunity to go out to Oak Grove there on the outside of Mount Pleasant, Kevin Colley, the preacher from New Boston, is going to be down, and he is going to address, even from a Matthew 11 and verse 28 through 30, that great invitation of Jesus, "You who are weary, come home." And so each night, tomorrow night and tonight at 7 o'clock, you can be with the brethren over there at the North Jefferson congregation as they finish up their great gospel meeting. It's been a great meeting so far, as I've heard. I've not been able to be out to it, but the words that are coming back to me, Brother Frank from over there at Cookeville calls me and lets me know how things are going, and he's encouraged, he's excited, and we're glad to have him at our VBS last week. But also, don't forget that the last of our Monday Summer Youth Series events is coming to a close. So this next Monday, which will be the 21st, school's going to be starting. The last event is going to be down the road here in Blodgett. And so we're going to have the opportunity to listen to Brother Heath tell us about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. That's always a great event to listen to up there, even from the events that happen on top of Mount Carmel. So that's coming up this next Monday, August the 21st. It's going to be wrapping up the Summer Youth Series. And sadly, summer has come to an end. School is going back into session, and life goes back to the pace that it was even before the summer started. Coming up September the 23rd, which, you know, is not very far around the corner, the North Main Church of Christ is having a Ladies' Day. And the title of their Ladies' Day is Make Me a Servant. And so they've invited Lisa Harris down to talk to the ladies on that day. And so their registration is going to start at 9 there at the North Main Church. And about 9:30, they'll get started with Miss Lisa leading them. And so if you can be there, they know they need to know how much food to prepare and whatnot. So they have left a number here. And they said you can text or call Amanda at 225-326-9179. And they're asking you to try your very best to RSVP by September the 21st. All right, September the 1st, rather. Make sure and get that in there, September the 1st, Ladies' Day. All right, so then the next thing coming up, we have September the 15th through the 17th. I actually got that out of order, didn't I? So we're going back a week to September 15th through the 17th, and we're looking forward to the Cleburne Church family inviting you out for a great marriage and family seminar. We've been telling you for quite some time now about John and Carla Moore coming in to do this, and so the Granbury Street congregation is looking forward to getting you registered, getting you in there. Even for the first Friday night assembly, which is that Friday, September the 15th at 7 o'clock. So if you can be in touch with them and let them know if you're coming, they'd like to hear from you. They left a number here, and that would be 817-517-7713. And also, we're reminding you to make sure and get ready ladies to get lined up and signed up for the Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat going on down there at the Bible Camp in Brady, Texas from October 5th through the 7th. And so you need to be getting signed up for that. You can contact them at info@texasladiesinchrist.org. You can get on their webpage at texasladiesinchrist.org. You can call them at 325-600-4143. Several ways to get in touch with them. If any of those got by you, you can certainly get in touch with us up here. You can call us directly here at the office. That's 903-537-4129. We'd be glad to go over those opportunities again with you. And then finally, before we leave the month of August, I must have shuffled this stack of announcements. These are out of order. This is for August the 26th. Okay, so back up on your calendar just a minute. The Blossom Church of Christ is having a Ladies' Day on August the 26th at 8:30. It's going to 1 o'clock. Breakfast and lunch are going to be provided. And Nancy Wheat is going to be coming and talking about comfort. And so if you can be a part of that, then please get in touch with those good folks up there at the Blossom Church of Christ and let them know that you're planning on coming, because they're serving breakfast and lunch. All right, so a lot of things going on around us still, even as the summer wraps up. Make sure and keep your eyes open next week for those big yellow dogs that are going to be running up and down the road. And make sure and stop for the red flashing lights. Be preparing to stop when you see the yellow amber lights begin to flash. Be looking for the children again. It's something that we get out of custom of doing in the summertime. But be ready. This next Monday, the children will be out and about. All right, this morning we have the opportunity to get into Proverbs chapter 4. And a lot of good instruction that we get in these particular two books that we look, or two chapters that we'll look at, chapters 4 and 5. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I think too much, or anyway, take it for what it is. Have you ever wondered about Solomon being the one that was chosen to write the Proverbs? I mean, I ask questions like that from time to time. I don't know that I'll ever really get a solid answer. You know, you look over in 1 Kings chapter 11, and you get kind of an insight into the man Solomon himself. You know, at verse number 3 of 1 Kings 11, we're reminded that he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. We're reminded a little further down, verses 4 to 8, in that same chapter, 1 Kings 11, that his wives turned his heart away to follow strange gods, that is, little g gods, so that his heart was not perfect before the living God. Strike two. even as you go forward from that same chapter, about verse 9, you find out that God rebuked him and promised him that he would rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon's son. Right? And so you remember that we would have a divided kingdom going forward, right? Well, then in 1 Kings chapter 4, at verse number 26, if you back up a little bit, you're reminded Solomon put together great stables of horses in disobedience to the will of God. A lot of things that we could point to this morning, and this is certainly the more prominent things that are discussed when Solomon's name comes up. But we're reminded of his humanity. I mean, he made some mistakes, didn't he? And so I like to think of it this way. Did Paul ever make any mistakes? Yeah, he did. What about Peter? Did Peter ever make any mistakes? Well, yes, he did. And did both of them go on to write great books? Well, yes, they did. And so I think the same thing about Solomon. You know, even though I look to some of the mistakes that he made, you know, God can use a person to accomplish his will. One of the examples that jumps out of my mouth so very often is the book of Habakkuk. Right? Habakkuk stands back and he asks God, how long are you going to let this go on? You know, how long is this travesty going to continue? And God looks and tells Habakkuk, he says, don't worry, I'm sending the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans? Of all people, the Chaldeans, really? Well, you know, God sets them up and he takes them down. God rules in the kingdoms of men, as Daniel would find out, as Nebuchadnezzar would find out, as Nebuchadnezzar's son would find out. And so God uses who he wishes to use to accomplish his will. So, yeah, he used Solomon. Did David ever make any mistakes? Yes. And we see a lot of Psalms that were written. We see a lot of good things accomplished. So God can use a man like Solomon to write some incredible passages, even like we have the privilege to look at today. In chapters 4 and 5, we have some wonderful teachings that, you know, sound like they're coming from father to son. And so let's tune in this morning and let's read, let's say, the first 9 verses together, and we'll make some comments afterwards. Chapter 4, Proverbs, verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. First 9 verses are emphatic. You know, the thing that stands out to me of all 9 verses is get wisdom and get understanding. And wouldn't that be kind of the pronouncement in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, the whole duty of man, right? Fear God and keep his commandments. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Keep his commandments. You know, Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? So we have a priority set before us as the Father speaks to the Son here. You know, the wise man, he pleads here, and he pleads to ye children, even back in verse number 1. Hear the instructions of a father. And so you see the plurality in the word children. And children could be, you know, how many children did he have? I mean, multiple wives and concubines, all these things that are going on in Solomon's life. Think about the plurality of children. And think about those that are benefited by it today. Even who are we, the children of God? And so get this wisdom, right? As he looks, he addresses sometimes my son. Well, as he has the opportunity to sit down and write by inspiration here, it may be that this reference includes, you know, other children. It may be his special son. It sounds like maybe it's to be used in a classroom situation sometimes. Certainly as we sit together this morning, it is, you know, kind of a classroom setting, isn't it? And so we have this opportunity to listen as God speaks through Solomon here. In verse number 2, he says, I give you good doctrine. Ooh, that's good. Brethren, we could park our bus of exegesis right here, and we could do some preaching because there's a lot to be said about good doctrine. You know, there is such a thing as good medicine, right? And there is such a thing as bad medicine, isn't there, right? And so when we look at good doctrine, what are we talking about? We're talking about wholesome teaching. We're talking about the doctrine, the teaching, the good news, the gospel even today that is beneficial to the soul. It is able to build you up. It is able to save your soul, right? So the good doctrine, basically teaching is what we find in that word. Good doctrine is that which comes from God. And so listen to God's word. All of God's words are good teaching. You remember when Jesus taught? How many times did you remember hearing somebody say, this man teaches like no man we've ever heard before? And so they wondered, where did he study? Under whose feet did he sit to learn these things? This man speaks with great authority. And so the words of God are good teaching, good and wholesome doctrine. You know, our youth today could benefit from some good doctrine, couldn't they? And so every time we have the opportunity here in this building at the Mount Vernon location where the Church of Christ meets, we do our very best to give good doctrine. We certainly know that that's going on at home. And so the church builds on what goes on at home. And so we have to give good doctrine, that good and wholesome teaching. You know, it needs to start early. And you might remember as we look back to Timothy, Paul says in his second letter to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, that is the unfaked, the true faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. So guess what? Somebody gave him good doctrine. So good doctrine is beneficial. It was in grandma, it was in mama, and now it's in you. So they did their due diligence. Same thing that we find back in Deuteronomy 6. Teach your children. You look over in 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse number 14, the Bible says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned of, learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, Timothy. Paul gave that instruction, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So get good doctrine. Even Solomon says, take it, digest it, love it, live it. Verses 3 and 4, as we look back, Solomon states that he has good instructions from his father. And so now it's his responsibility to pass them on. You know, he'd been told by David to hear and retain those lessons. You know, the love his parents had for him brought forth the lessons they taught him. You know, when we fail to discipline our children, what are we doing? We're failing to love them properly, right? Right? Spare the rod, spoil the child. When we fail to teach our children the love of God, that is his good doctrine, what are we doing? We're holding back God's love from them, and we're failing in our responsibility as parents. And so verses 5 and 7, get wisdom, right? Get understanding. There is a benefit to good doctrine. There is wisdom to be found in good doctrine. And even as Paul would say, as he wrote to the Ephesians, you can understand it, and we can understand it all alike. And verses 8 and 9, exalt her, that is wisdom. Exalt that wisdom. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. And so get wisdom, get knowledge, get understanding, embrace them, because that good doctrine that you are embracing will take you onto the throne of God when you cross that Jordan one day. Moving forward into verses 10 through, let's see, I've got my little mark here at 19. Let's read verses 10 through 19 and hear more instruction, even the value of godly instruction. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Hold it tight. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Man, you can tell that this father has been down that road. You remember that Solomon tried everything. I mean, that's the book of Ecclesiastes, right? Vanity of vanities. He had it all. And he tasted, he touched, he felt, he did everything. And as he ends the book, remember he says, fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole reason that we're here. All this other stuff was just fluff. All this other stuff was just distraction. And so as he begins verse 10, he says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't be led away by that good smell. Don't be led away by that enticing taste, right? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those things that we read about in John. You know, we understand that those same things that Jesus would be tempted with there in Matthew chapter 4, right? And so when we see a passage like 1 John 2, beginning at verse 15, and we read about those things that the world holds, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and then we see that Jesus overcame those temptations, guess what? He says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Do like Jesus and don't consent. Use that good doctrine. Use wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in order to overcome the sin. Don't be enticed. You know, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days, the Bible says, and the first thing the devil said is, turn that rock into some bread. I know you're hungry. Right? The devil knows where we're weak. And so when you are enticed, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, when you're enticed, don't be drawn away. Good advice. Good advice. Verse 11, he says, I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. And so notice that there has been some instruction. There has been some examples given. You know, it was Paul. I said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, I believe, be thou followers of me as I am a follower of Christ. Paul is confident enough in his Christian walk to say, look, if you'll follow me and you'll listen to the words that I'm speaking, if you'll follow the instruction that is coming even from God through me as his instrument, you'll go to heaven with me. Because as he ended in 2 Timothy 4, you remember beginning at about verse 6, he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course, right? I've kept the faith. He said, I've done the things that God has asked me to do. And so if you've been following me, then I'll take you to where that crown of life is about to be given. So I've taught thee, Solomon says, I have led thee. And so follow in my footsteps. Now, don't necessarily fall off the wagon over here with the concubines and the wives like I did. But listen to the instruction that I'm giving you, even from God. Verse 12, he said, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And then when you run, you're not going to stumble. Just remain on the path. Remember, walking in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1, there is a way that is right. And it's not the way that we're going to make of our own making, right? Jeremiah 10 and verse number 23. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We don't have the ability to shut the book and walk on our own because the book is the light. And so we have to walk in the light as he is in the light. So we have this opportunity to follow good instruction, get wisdom, get understanding, get knowledge, follow the good example, take advantage of the good doctrine. And then in verse 13, you remember we read, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. You know, when we see our family members, maybe over the Thanksgiving break or Christmas break or something, I don't see my family very often, maybe once a year if I'm lucky. And one thing that we do when we see each other is we take fast hold of each other. Now, that's the idea that's being given here by Solomon to the children. Remember, as the chapter began, take fast hold of instruction. Don't let it go, right? Hold on to it. Make it your desire. You remember not too very long ago, back in the Psalms, we studied at chapter 42, even at the top of the chapter, as the deer pants after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And that's the way Revelation ends. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Blessed are they, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, many learn the truth, but, you know, through anxiety or, I don't know, prejudice, maybe anger pops up. False teachers maybe get in their way. Well, we let it slip, don't we? I know that people were sad to hear me years ago when I had slipped away. But they were right there to rejoice when I came back. You know, it is the case that if we look away like Peter did as he walked out of the boat to meet Jesus on the water, when you look away, you can get easily distracted. And so he says here, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Don't let go. Don't make that mistake. Don't put the oars up in the canoe. Because as soon as you stop rowing, you'll drift away. In verse 16, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. He gives really what is, I don't know, easily understood to me anyway, is an uncomplimentary description of those that we commonly refer to in Scripture as the wicked. And so he's got an eye out for the wicked, and we need to have our eyes out as well. You know, they don't sleep until we fall, right? They are constantly on watch to cause us to slip and fall. They would lay in their beds at night and dream up mischief. They would lay snares and traps for us. And so we need to beware of those that are laying traps for us. And remember, even as Paul said, evil companions corrupt good morals, 1 Corinthians 15:33. And so be careful of those that you spend time with. Make sure that they're on the pathway to heaven so that you can go shoulder to shoulder in the fray together. In verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, and the way of the wicked is darkness. You see, that's the same thing that we read about in John's account, right? God is light. Jesus, the light of the world. The earth was covered in darkness. The earth comprehended not the light. And so they rejected the light. They crucified the light. But God raised the light again on the third day. You see, here, basically what he does before we leave this section of Scripture is he contrasts the differences between the righteous and the wicked, light, dark, right? And so he talks about the beauty of the righteous man, the path of the righteous man, in opposition to the path of the wicked man, who is in darkness, groping, lost, without hope, without God. What a miserable existence. So lots of good instructions there, but as time slips away from me, it looks like we're about half past the hour now already. Let's finish the passage reading from verses 20 to 27, please. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips, put it far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Brethren, we could talk about these couple of verses all week. This is a whole gospel series right here. Some fantastic instructions, my friends. Attend unto my words. That's the New Testament. You know, constantly. That's what the epistles are all about. You know, incline thine ear unto my sayings. It's what heaven is reaching out. Attend, incline, let them not depart from thine eyes, right? Keep them in thine heart. You know, that goes back to the psalmist saying, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin. You know, we have to get instruction. We have to take hold of that good doctrine. We have to hold it close, hold it fast, and don't let it go. Allow it to guide our steps. Allow ourselves to, verse 26, ponder the path of our feet. Have you thought about that? Before you take the next step, think about your next step. Before you make that next decision, think about that next decision. You know, so many times we rely on ourselves, don't we? And so allow God to direct. You know, as Solomon reaches out, God is reaching out. Children, attend to my words. Children, incline thine ear. Children, let not my words depart from your eyes. And so the benefit of all of this is long life and health, right? The person that never takes a drink, I would imagine they never will have sclerosis of the liver. The person that never smokes probably will never have throat cancer or lung cancer. The person that never takes a dip will probably never have mouth cancer. You know, all of these things, you know, that go hand in hand. Those that don't have premarital sex with multiple partners, you know, the thing that is so prominent in our society today, will probably never have STDs, will probably never come across AIDS, will probably never come across fill in the blank. And so listen, if you'll just follow his word and do the things that he has asked, long life, a fruitful life. You see, there's a benefit to following God's word. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That's the whole of this section of scripture that we're looking at. Take care of it. Really, take care of it. Take care of what God has given you. 1 Corinthians 6, you're not your own. You've got what you're looking at. Look at your hands. Look at your arms. Just look down for a minute. That belongs to God. You are renting it. You have got this temple on loan. Take care of it. Don't abuse it. Make sure that you make your bodies a suitable dwelling place for the Spirit, right? And so, wonderful, wonderful instructions that we have here. Put away from thee, verse 24, the froward mouth. You know, I can remember so many times people saying, when they hear something nasty come out of somebody's mouth, they say, is that the same mouth you kiss your mama with? Right? We understand what that means, right? And so blessings and cursings, sweet water and bitter water, cannot come out of the same location. It's going to be one or the other. And so put away from thee a froward mouth, right? Think about the words, you know, that you're about to speak. Don't have crooked and perverse words in your mouth. Taste your words before you let go of them. Taste your words before you hit that send button, because it's too late after the button's been pushed. You know, taste those words. A lot of good instruction here that we find in Proverbs chapter 4. And again, we could spend a lot of time in these 27 verses. But let's try to press on this morning and try to get through chapter 5 without jumping through too many passages without looking at them. Chapter number 5 of Proverbs, we see Solomon again calling on his son to listen to what he has to say. Verses 1 and 2, he says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge." So we have another admonition. Seems like it flows right along with chapter number 4. He's asked him to incline, to listen, to pay attention, to draw near, to hold, to retain. And so this is much the same language. He says, attend and bow thine ear to mine understanding. Regard, right? So the same admonition is coming. In verses 3 to, wow, I've got a long section right here. 3 to, let's just read down to verse number 14 here. It seems to be all one good thought here as I have it marked off. Warnings against fornication. Now, Solomon would be experienced in this. And so the things that he has to say, sadly enough, come from firsthand experience. But knowing the error of his ways, he can very well admonish us. And so God would use him to warn against fornication. So beginning in chapter 5, verse 3, "The lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable," that is, they're unstable, "that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh to the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy ears unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly." When we look at one who has been down that road, notice the fervor of his voice. This is what you can expect. This is the end of that pathway. And so don't go down that pathway because it leads to destruction. Jesus said there's not but two paths to follow, a narrow one, a restricted one, and a wide one, an easy one, the path of least resistance. Now, you can follow the restricted one, and it leads to eternal life. It's not going to be easy. There's a lot of work involved, but the benefits are out of this world. The other path, the one that all you got to do is just kick your feet up in the canoe and drift, you can even take a nap along the way if you want to. But it leads right down to the gates of hell. And so listen, he says, to the words that I had to say. Attend, listen, bow your ear, listen to what I had to say. The lips of a strange woman, oh, they can be enticing, he says. But again, remember 1 John 2, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You see, there are various ways to be drawn away, and he says here, that fornication is one of those ways. And my opinion, obviously, because of what the Bible reveals to us, is that like Samson, Solomon had a weak spot for the ladies. And so there are folks in society today, maybe some ladies out there that have a weak spot for the man. You know, the good-looking man that comes down the road. Some guys have a weak spot for that that good-looking young lady that they see in the grocery store, in the post office. Got to be careful, right? He says, be careful. Her mouth is smoother than oil, right? And so make sure to watch your weak spots. Do you know your weak spots? I bet you do. And you better bet that the devil does too. The end of that path, he says, verses 4 and 5, is bitter as wormwood, right? Nasty. The end will bring about destruction. And he had been down that road, and he knew what he was talking about, right? And so as you break through the sign on the highway that says bridge out, you know what? The end is going to be destruction when you go over the edge. You knew that the bridge was out, but you went down that way anyway. You can expect to find death at the end of that road, can't you? As he continues, he says, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. And so such a wicked person overtakes quickly in setting and springing a trap. I like the way that was placed here before us. This idea of the adversary placing a trap. You know, they're quick to jump out there and put it in front of you and then entice you to step into it. That's hard to get your head around sometimes, isn't it? But the wicked person is definitely out there. He says, if you depart not from the words of my mouth, there's going to be a benefit. He goes on in verse 9, he says, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy ears unto the cruel. You know, several evil results will come out of living in sin, right? Lots of those examples in the Bible. You think back to Genesis chapter 38, I believe down about verse 23, Judah said, yes, verse number 23, let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot, and also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And so we would come to find out about Judah and Tamar, and notice the deceitfulness, the pleasures of sin, and then how that would come back and bite Judah. In 2 Samuel 12, verse number 11, beginning, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And so you would see that David would come to understand the horrible end to be experienced because of his reaching out for Bathsheba. You know, there was a consequence to be paid. And so there's lots of examples in the Bible where we see people finding the end of that horrible road. And so Solomon is just taking an opportunity here to reach out and tell those that would listen to him, even today, you know, be aware of the traps that are being laid for us in different places today. It may be the trap of fornication that gets one of us this week. And so let's be aware of that horrible trap that's been laid. You know, each one of us has a different weakness, don't we? We do, each one of us. And so mine is different than yours, yours is different than mine, et cetera, et cetera. But the devil's aware of all of those. And so again, incline thine ear, draw near unto wisdom and understanding and knowledge, take hold of it, don't let go of it. Long life will be the result. Watch out for fornication. Watch out for these strange women. You remember 700 and 300, the numbers that we started with. And so there was a lot of instruction coming from Solomon here, even firsthand experience. And the end of that road is death. continuing on here, even down from 15 to 21 in chapter 5, the Bible says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings, or his paths. And so when he says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, right? Stay at home. You don't need the love of a strange woman. You don't need to go in search of another lady friend. You don't need that. Rejoice in the wife of thy youth, right? And so we come to the concept that is taught throughout the New Testament, even by Jesus, right? The one wife for life, right? And so we have this one spouse that we are to be with. Wives, love your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. It's very simple to understand. And so he says, stay away from the strange women. And you might even see in your own mind's eye, see a parenthetical there, like I did, right? Keep away from strange women, like I did. Stay away, right? Learn from others' mistakes. That's the beauty of looking back. And like we're doing on Sundays, and soon to be Sundays and Wednesdays, looking at the children of Israel and examining the 40 years that they were in the wilderness, we should learn. We should see what they did and what they did not do, and learn those mistakes. I mean, that is the point of 1 Corinthians 15 or Romans 15 and verse 4. That is the point of 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 11, right? Learn the lesson. And so Solomon has the opportunity to say, learn from my mistakes. I sinned in the sight of the Lord. I did these horrible things before God. And the end of those were vanity, as we found out in Ecclesiastes. He says, learn the lesson. Avoid strange women. Enjoy the wife of thy youth. You know, it's a blessing to see those that I worship with here that have been married 50, 60, 70 years. And know that I can do it. I can do it. Because they can do it. Right? I'm no better than them. They're no better than me. We can do it together. If they can do it, I can do it. Right? And so we have an example. And Solomon says here, there's no benefit. Even in verse 20, there's no benefit in the strange woman. There's no benefit in her house. You need to be in your own house, right? Drink out of your own well. Stay at home. Enjoy the love of that good woman. And don't let her go. And then as we finish the chapter, we see verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them, and heal or health to all their flesh. I'm in chapter 4. I apologize. don't you hate when that happens? Verses 22. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Who's that? The one that doesn't heed this instruction. the one that doesn't take opportunity to notice the trap that's been set, even through the pathway of fornication. Flee this fornication. Flee the strange woman. Flee this situation that is going to end in the destruction of your soul. And so one that sets a trap for another will fall victim to his own devices. You know, we read of the individual, we've seen that in our Psalms studies, that the individual that has set the trap can very well fall into his own trap. And so we need to be careful. Psalm 7 at verse number 15, he made a pit and digged it and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. And so notice that if you have laid a trap for someone else, take heed that you don't fall in it yourself, right? Ephesians 5 and verse number 5, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Don't get caught up in the evil doings of others. Don't get involved in setting traps for others. You remember, so many times we find that the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Herodians, all these individuals were set out against Jesus to try to get him trapped in his words. And so they would ask him, you remember so very vividly, the lady that's had seven husbands, you know, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? Well, the Sadducees didn't even believe in the resurrection to begin with. And so they would fall in their own trap. And so don't be involved with that type of a mob mentality, because the end is going to lead you into the trap that you've already set. Verse 23, Solomon ends with, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. You know, the guy that violates the principles that are set forth, even here in this chapter, are going to ultimately face death without the benefits that you and I, as Christian citizens in the kingdom, are going to be blessed with. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 4, you remember, as those that have no hope is mentioned there, those that are outside of Christ don't have the hope that you and I have. And so those that deny instruction, those that die without instruction, where does that take us back to? 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 through 9, right? Those that don't know God, those that refuse the gospel, well, that's the ones he's talking about here. Same ones that Paul would address. And so the one that refuses instruction, the one that refuses the good doctrine, as we studied in our last chapter, he lives a life of folly, right? He has never found that Ecclesiastes 12:13 point. You know, many people have sent bullets through their brains because they don't know why they're here. They don't know why they're even breathing. What a pity. And so the one that's being addressed here, the one that dies without instruction, Lord, I hope that we would be able to find one of those today and teach them and show them the error of their way. Because no man wants to die without instruction. They might tell you that to your face in the here and now. But look over at Luke 16. And know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the man that lives in folly, remember the rich man? Oh, Abraham, please. Abraham, please. Send someone back to my house. Well, the end of the folly, the life that ends without instruction, the life that is led in folly. It's a miserable end. And so take the instruction that's been given here in Proverbs 4 and Proverbs 5 this morning, and let's apply it to our own lives. And let's teach our children. Let's teach our grandchildren. Let's teach our spouses. Let's teach our neighbors. Take hold of good doctrine. Incline your ear. Pant after the word. Love it like the honeycomb. Love it just like you do your three meals a day. Don't go without your buffet in the word today. Just because we've studied it for a few minutes here on the radio, that doesn't mean you're done for the day. Don't be fooled by that. Yeah, we've got to study it more throughout the day. Go back and look at some of the comments that I've made, you know, and make sure that I'm in the straight and narrow, that I've not taught something that's erroneous. You know, we've got a lot of responsibility as it relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so let's be checking it out. Love each one of you. And I'm grateful for the time that you spent with us today as we studied Proverbs 4 and Proverbs 5. It's a wealth of information. And the stuff that we've talked about just for a few minutes this morning, we hadn't even scratched the surface. So go back and look at it some more as you have opportunity today and meditate on those things. And then remember, God is so good. Well, I love each one of you, and I appreciate you being with us this morning. Thanks for finding the Gospel Radio Network. And I tell you what, do me a favor today. Tell someone about the Gospel Radio Network, because your word of mouth is the best advertisement that we have. Love each one of you, and we look forward to the programming that's coming up in the rest of the day today. I always look forward to hearing my buddy John McCormick. I always look forward to hearing my good buddy out there in San Angelo, Rick Popejoy. I love those Tolstar archives. So lots of good stuff on the radio today, so don't turn it off. Turn it up. Love each one of you, and have a fantastic morning for the Master.